Power, amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, familiar passage, knowing I was going to have a short message tonight. And I was a little chatty this morning. We had our new members reception after the service this morning, and I told the group there, I said, you know, I'm sitting here this morning as I was chatting, you know, from the pulpit, and kept telling myself, stop, you know, and I was getting on my own nerves. And in my mind, while I'm speaking to you, I'm going, stop, like I'm doing now, stop, just get on with it, you know. And so, anyway, John chapter 14, verse 1, if you've been Christian very long, you hear this verse so much, especially at funerals, but what a comforting scripture it is. Let not your heart be troubled. These are Jesus' words, by the way. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that, what? Where I am, there you may be also. You think about as Jesus in the previous chapter had told his disciples, hey, you know, I'm gonna be gone. You know, I'm going to die. Told Peter that he's going to deny him three times. And I believe the disciples at this point were needing some comfort. And so Jesus here comforts them. Let not your heart be troubled. And I love that statement, that where I am, there you may be also. And we know he's there today. Amen? One day we'll get an opportunity to be there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for our kids and the blessings of seeing them live out in their own lives, the true Christianity, and just even being brave enough to come up here and stand. And God, I just pray that you just continue to bless them. Bless Brother Obenauer and the group. Lord, we pray tonight you would bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord, to be so hopeful of the future that it impacts our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about many times in the Bible saying, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a great promise, isn't it? Looking for the blessed hope, Amen. The hope of His appearing. As Christians, we ought to, and we should, especially as maturing Christians, we ought to look forward to heaven, understanding that is our destination one day. But not just that it's going to be our destination, but that also that it impacts our life now. Knowing that heaven is in the future, it should motivate us now. Knowing that someday we're going to heaven, it should determine some things about our own life now. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christian who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. Those who do the most for the present world are those who think the most about the next. Again, the motivation that we have as Christians, there's many motivating factors, but one of the great ones is heaven as our home. Jesus Christ uses the phrase, where I am, in the Gospel of John, four different times. And each time he's referencing heaven. So we're just going to look at these real quick. Four references to where I am, there you may be also. And each one of these references, you can see a particular describes a certain kind of people and the certain kind of people that we should become in light of heaven. Make sense? So in light of heaven, these are four different distinctives that we should have in light of the where I am that are found in the Bible. Look at back in John chapter 7. We have to be kind of brief, so I'm going to read these quickly, so listen fast. Listen fast. John chapter 7, I'm not going to give a lot of background either, just for lack of time. John chapter 7, verse 32, and the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot go. As we think about this, as he's describing to these Pharisees, hey, I'm just going to be here a little while. Yeah. And then I'm gone. Yeah. Can be reminded that heaven is a real place. By the way, if heaven's a real place, then hell has to be a real place. Because Christ describes both. They are both real. If not, then 1 Corinthians 15 would apply, where it says in verse 32, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I mean, if that's all there is, if there's no heaven or hell, then let's just eat and drink and die. But we know that's not true. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And death is not the end. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Again, we see Jesus here warned them. The religious leaders did not trust him. They would not go where he was going. And they better listen up. In other words, they weren't going to heaven. That's the point he's making. They're not going there. They're not going to be where he is. And so we as Christians ought to be soul-winning people. In light of heaven, in light of going to heaven, in light of hell that's real, we ought to be a witnessing people. We ought to tell others of Jesus Christ. These Pharisees had rejected Christ, and therefore were on their way to hell. And I'm just being where the rubber meets the road tonight. They needed Christ, but they rejected him. I think we as Christians sometimes we're just a little, ashamed's not the word, but we're just not bold enough. I mean, here's Jesus standing in front of these Pharisees. They understood what he was saying. Some of them did, surely. Hey, you're not going there where I am. We need to be bold with people around us. We need to be bold like Christ. We need to tell our coworkers and neighbors and aunts and uncles, hey, heaven's real. You need your sins forgiven. If you're going to have a home in heaven, you must go the way of Christ. We need to be bold about it. Amen. It is absolutely our responsibility to share the love of Jesus with others. Now, we ought to be loving and kind, but we shouldn't compromise. We ought to tell others about Christ. By the way, he is the only way. That's not popular today either. So though we are telling them, hey, there's a heaven and hell is real, we're also telling them that going to heaven is exclusively through Jesus Christ. And that, that's not politically correct. Pluralism reigns today. And to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the only way is not in the spectrum today of things that are conceived to be, one of kindness. You know, you ask somebody, well, you really believe that those who reject Christ are going to hell? What if they're sincere? What if they're sincere in their other religion? What if this or that? Well, that they can be sincere and believe in Allah or whatever, but our Bible says that Jesus Christ said himself, "I am the way," John 14, verse 6, just a few verses down from what we read a moment ago. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He didn't say he was kind of the way. He didn't say he was part of the way. He didn't even say he was the best way. He said, "I am the way," emphatically, "the way, the truth, and the life." And the only way to get to the Father, the only way to get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. That's it. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is through Christ and Christ alone." Acts 4, verse 12, Paul made it clear. And we can go on and on and on, the verses that make it very clear that there is exclusivity when it comes to the saving knowledge and of the gospel and going to heaven. It's narrow. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. And we ought to be kind about it. We ought to be loving and kind and gracious, but also uncompromising in what the Bible has to say. But for the point, we ought to be witnesses for Christ and be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, heaven and hell are in the balance. We must tell others. I think of the lepers who said after the great battle, it really wasn't a battle, God just came down and destroyed an army, and there was 10 lepers who were outside the gate, and they went and found the army all destroyed, and lepers went into the first tent and got them a hamburger and went to the next tent and got them a steak. And I mean, the tents, everybody was dead. There was just stuff laying around and they were hungry. And all of a sudden they looked at each other and said, what should we do? One of them said, "We do not well if we do not tell. Go back to the city where they were starving and tell them that God had defeated the enemy at night." It's a great story. Go back and read it. But we do not well if we do not tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ought to be a witnessing people. Number two, we ought to be a sacrificing people. John chapter 12 is the next one. John chapter 12, verse 23, the next one where he says, "Where I am, John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, for life eternal. Verse 26 now, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So number two, we think about being a sacrificing people. Speaking of dying to self, a seed must be buried in order for it to bring forth fruit. And so we as Christians must die to self in order to bring forth fruit. In other words, put ourselves aside and serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Die to self. To be fruitful, we must die. We must sacrifice. We see this tonight. I was thinking tonight, these Master Club workers, how many hours were put into each, you know, the fifth grade division, the first and second grade division, all these divisions, all these things had to be put together, and the hours were put together to do that. Our Sunday school teachers that spend hours studying and preparing and working and calling kids and on and on and on, the hours that are put in around here. By the way, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But we ought to be a sacrificing people. The paradox that we lose our life to find it. We lose our life to find it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. And so remembering that Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for us, and remembering heaven when it comes to working for Jesus. A great motivating factor for working for Him is heaven. It's heaven. We must sacrifice for Him. Work while it is day, the Bible says. Work while it is day. So number two is a sacrificing people. Number three, a confident people. John 14 that we read, the first part, our text verse tonight. Let not your heart be troubled. That where I am, He said, there you may be also. Jesus' announcement that He would be leaving. Again, the previous chapter, He says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. And makes that very clear. Though the disciples were still, heads were still swimming, trying to wrap their hand around exactly what He was talking about. But He made it clear He was going to die. Heaven is a motivator. But we see here that Jesus Christ calmed their hearts. He dissolved their worries. He gave them peace. We think about heaven is a calming factor, right? 1 Thessalonians, Paul made that clear. He said, listen, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive will be raised up after that. He says, comfort one another with these words, right? So heaven is a motivating factor in that it gives us peace of knowing where we're going. We have confidence in knowing. By the way, the word hope in the verse we read, the very first verse, where it says our hope of eternal life, our hope that He's coming, that word hope there means confident expectation. So we are confident that He's going to return. We are confident that He's coming again. We are confident, biblically, it's fact, He's coming again. We have confidence in knowing that. So when we're telling somebody about Jesus, we're witnessing, we can have confidence in knowing that it's real. Heaven's real, hell's real. We have confidence. We can say it with boldness. When we think of Brother Vianne and Miss Vianne going to the funeral of his mother, we have confidence in knowing that someday we'll be reunited with the loved ones that go on before us who have been saved and are born again. We have confidence in that and knowing that. And it causes us and motivates us to sacrifice that others might be saved, that others might have that confidence in knowing. You see, heaven is an escape from trials. Yay for that. I'm looking forward to that. No more sickness, no more death, no more pain over there. It's an escape from trials. But it's also an entrance into joy. And we have hope in living for that. We have confidence in living for that day. And as we go on in this life. All right, number four. I'm trying to hurry sometime and give you the information. Where I am. We ought to be a witnessing people. It ought to motivate us. We ought to be a sacrificing people, dying to self. Listen, it's hard to get up on a Saturday morning and spend all day at a gym working with children. It's not easy. Some of those adults might have rather been at home laying on the couch watching TV. I don't know. But it was a sacrifice, right? And I know it's a small sacrifice. Other sacrifices we make, we ought to be willing to make those sacrifices. Right? We ought to witnessing people. We ought to be a sacrificing people. I was thinking today, I don't know why, and I know Miss Crisp is not here, but I was thinking of Miss Crisp's mother, Miss Gentry, for some reason. And I was thinking of this lady who taught the kindergarten class, right? The kindergarten class for 50 years at Lakeland Baptist Church. 50 years. That's amazing. That takes sacrifice. That's amazing, isn't it? 50 years. By the way, came out for visitation.
Amen.
In her 70s, early 80s, maybe even up to her 90s. Anyway, just sacrifice. Yeah, she may have told you about it every once in a while. That's a whole other story. I mean, she wasn't necessarily quiet about it, but she was there. She was there. And sacrifice, faithfulness, willing to do that, heaven's a motivator. Confidence in knowing that heaven is our home. And lastly, it ought to make us a united people. Look at John 17, verse 22. This is the real Lord's Prayer here in John 17. John is praying. I'm sorry, Jesus is praying. This is the real Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus praying. Look with me in verse 20. We'll start there. I love verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I just always like to point that particular verse out. It has nothing to do with the message tonight, but I have it underlined in my Bible. You ought to as well. It says that Jesus prayed for us. Amen. He didn't just pray for those that were there. He prayed for us.
Amen.
Are we at 125 yet? Okay. I was going to do a cartwheel, but I'm feeling it tonight. Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us. All right, let's move on. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me as thou hast loved me. By the way, I've got it in my notes, but look what he just said. He loved Jesus, that he loved us as he loved his son, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? It's a great man. Amen. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Knowing of heaven ought to motivate us to be a united people. The Father loves us just as he loves his Son. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing thought. You ought to think about that a little more. The Father loves us just as he loves his Son. We're going to heaven together. We share God's love. We share God's glory. We ought to get along. Amen. We're all one day going to be united in heaven. We're all going to get along there. We ought to get along here. We ought to be united. The evidence, the love of the Father ought to be evidence in our ability to love one another. No fighting. That's a terrible example for the world outside these doors. As Christians bicker with one another, we ought to love one another. In fact, Jesus said that. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. How are they going to know that we're one of his disciples? By our love for each other. We ought to have love for each other. Not only should we have love for each other, that love should bring spiritual unity. In other words, we ought to be unified in spirit. By that I mean it's not just a fake unity. We all just come to church and all smile and act like we love everybody and it's just an act. No, there ought to be a spirit of unity. Amen? It ought to be genuine. And we have that here. I just want to remind you, from time to time, it does tilt here and there. And even in our church over the years, we ought to love each other. We don't always going to like everything that is done or like everything that someone may do, but we ought to love each other. I don't like everything that my brother has ever done. If he was here, I would tell him so. He's on a cruise, apparently, and my dad is watching the 9 grandkids over at their house in Greenville. Y'all pray for my dad. He came down from the farm. He is now at their house. He is watching 9 grandkids for a whole week while my brother and sister-in-law go on a cruise. I don't always like everything my brother has ever done. Neither would he like everything that I've ever done. I may not always treated him as kind as I should have. Neither has he always treated me as kind as he should have treated me. But I love him. And it's not a fake love. Right? It's not a put-on. I love him. I would do anything for him, humanly speaking. And we should have that kind of love for each other. And literally, love looks past the warts. If you hang around somebody long enough, you hang around me long enough, you're going to know I'm just a person, blah, 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 right? Everybody is. My wife knows me better than anybody. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our own little things, and we ought to be able to get past those and love each other, be unified with each other. If you have a disagreement with somebody, go to them and get that thing right. Settle it. Matthew 15, principle always works. Make sure that you're right with your neighbor. Make sure you're right with your brother and sister. By the way, Jesus says, the Bible says that if you are not right with your brother, that God will not hear your prayers. That's pretty big. So we need to be unified. And heaven in view should keep us unified. By the way, I love this verse. Proverbs 13:10. Some ought to write this down, especially some who just love, anyway, okay. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised coveteth wisdom. I love the first part. Only by pride cometh contention. What is he saying? What's Solomon saying? He's saying, you are contentious because of your pride. You ever met somebody who just likes to argue for argument's sake? It's pride. You ever get on Facebook and just see people that just put things, thoughts on there just so they can get an argument out of it? I don't care what they say, that's pride. If you're just looking for an argument, and that's why you're having a conversation, pride. By the way, your little thought-provoking thing that you think is thought-provoking that's nothing more than a way to get people to argue, you think it's just a small thing, and sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just a little argument and everybody plays fair. But it's not all fun and games when somebody's feelings get hurt. And someone down the little line of talking on Facebook gets offended because of your pride. I wanted to throw that one in there. We ought to be unified because of heaven. We ought to be unified because of Christ said that where I am, there you may be also. I have a lot more down. But we ought to be a witnessing people. Heaven ought to be the motivator. We ought to be a sacrificing people, willing to sacrifice our time. As the Master Club shows tonight, and as we come out for, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's the choir sacrificing their time or, you know, ushers or, you know, I'm going to skip everybody that does all the work around here. But, man, this is Love God's Servant Sunday. Sacrifice. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell. And they need their sins forgiven to have a home in heaven. Then be confident people knowing that heaven's our home. And then be united people. What unites us? Jesus Christ. What helps us? You be united. The Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping our eyes on Him. Let's all stand. But where I am, there you may be also. Let's pray. And we're going to sing hymn 351. Wherever He leads, I'll go after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, for the blessed hope we have in knowing that one day that we'll live at home with You. And Lord, we thank You for that. Thank You for that expectation of knowing. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that You would continue to work in our hearts and help us to serve and sacrifice for you. I pray this week that you might send someone my way that needs the gospel. And Lord, that I would have the boldness to step out and tell them the good news of salvation. I pray, Lord, again for our church, that you keep us unified, keeping our eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing...